Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up? It's Rob Parker from ESPN. First Take and Numbers Never Lie, calling the War Room to wish you guys a very, very happy 100th episode show, and keep up the good work with the good sports chat, sports talk, and I appreciate being on the show and all the work that you guys do. Again, happy 100th show, and may you have 1,000 more. All right, peace.
The War Room.
Welcome to the War Room. We got Ted,
yo,
Kim, Jimmy,
I'm
DJ, B. Austin, the hot
yo!
Block
command.
How you wanna end a 1 or 2 hour show and keep the brain running with the premise of talk sports on a national level, bold with the topic, sort of like the rubber. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five during prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine and sports veterans and greats, the 4 for 26 saw the war in Kuwait. It's the War Room with five nights at the round table, five Philly guys diversified and educated.
What up, what up, what up, good people? It's a special day in War Room World. You are back with the best, the original, and what should be the one and only. You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports. I'm Devin McMillan, and alongside me are the generals of sports talk, Jimmy Williams, B. Austin, Paul Johnson, and we'll be hearing from Dr. Akil Bayon a little later in the show. Today's show is our 100th episode, and we plan to have some fun, y'all. We'll discuss the big sports stories of the week, and we'll hear from some very special past guests of the War Room. And during the second hour of the show, we'll be giving away $100 live on the air to a special caller, so stay tuned to find out how you can be that caller. We want you guys to join in the fun with us today as well, because without you, there's no us. So please chime in during the show, either in the JW Philly Realty chat room at blogtalkradio.com/TheWarRoom, or join us on Facebook or Twitter at War Room Sports. But feel free to call in and talk to us directly when we open up the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline. That number is 323-410-0012. Before we get started, we'd like to say what up to some of our partners in the industry. Make sure you check out Roy and Chris of the Broad Street Line every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio. And be sure to follow those guys on Twitter at the BS Line. They've been with us throughout most of this journey, and they'll be celebrating the same milestone in about 2 weeks. Also, check out the writing of the hardest working man in sports, Brandon Pemberton of Brandon on Sports. Find his articles on our blog at warroomsports.com/blog or at brandononsports.com. Shout out to our Midwest fam, JT, P. Coop, and Juana Woolridge of Ranked Top 5 Sports Radio in Chicago every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on Blog Talk Radio. Lastly, don't forget that in addition to Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, our show is syndicated on newvibradio.com every Friday at 7 a.m., 1 p.m., and 7 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 6, noon, and 6 Central. Make sure you listen up, people. The revolution is strong, and we have more great things to come. But now, I'm going to pass the baton to my brother Jimmy so he can tell us who's having a birthday this week.
My birthday! Yay!
What's up, gentlemen? What's going on?
What's up, ma'am?
I'm happy, I'm excited, I'm tearing up, I'm sentimental, I'm nostalgic, I'm thinking about all we've been through to get here to this point.
Yes, sir.
I like this. Oh, never mind.
No doubt. It's not you accepting the speech for your Grammy and whatnot. Anyway, that's coming, huh? No pause ever. Yo, the birthdays, by the way, are brought to you by Days of Beauty Hair Salon, located at 9221 Oxon Hill Road in Fort Washington, Maryland. Listen, you young ladies out there, it's very hot, and your weaves are sweating out. You're looking all crazy. Please call Lisa at 301-839-4472 and go to the Days of Beauty Hair Salon. Shout out to them for being one of our sponsors through this journey. Now, the first birthday I want to bring up is one James David Lofton, who turns 56. Let me see. Hot Block Commander. If I say
my
James
birthday.
David
Yay.
Lofton to you, what comes to mind?
The Buffalo Bills, a very good receiver that wasn't really great but was really good and stuck around long enough to accumulate a lot of numbers.
No doubt, no doubt. Dev, what's your opinion of when James David Lofton?
I'm kind of on the same page with Brother B. Austin there.
Yeah, I mean, he was. I think he was a very good receiver in the league. Don't think, like, if we did a HOF or FOH about him, I don't think I will be putting him into the War Room Hall of Fame. But, you know, he did his time, played for several teams, but for some reason, even though he only played three, I know, even though he only played, like, three of the Buffalo Bills, for some reason, that's where I remember him from, probably because that was around that time period where we were basically coming to our own as sports fans. But, you know,
yeah,
he played for the Packers, you know, the Bills. He even had a little stint with the Eagles. So happy birthday to James Lofton. He was also a high jump champ in college.
No doubt. But thing is, when I think of James Lofton, I definitely think of him in Buffalo because he was on some good Buffalo teams. And those Buffalo teams will never get the credit they deserve considering how those seasons always ended. But James Lofton was an above-average receiver. He had a good career, you know what I mean? Some people these days think that if you're not like a superstar or a Hall of Fame player that your career was bad, and that's just not the truth. He had a solid career, so, you know, shout out to him on his birthday. Let's move on.
Sports fans get stupider by the day.
No doubt. That's because it's something in the chicken. Anyway, next birthday is one Harvey Grant, who turns 47.
My birthday!
Yeah. Yay! What's up with you, Dad? When I say Harvey Grant, what comes to mind?
I think Harvey Grant was the lesser of the two of the Grant twins. The funny thing is, if I'm being honest, I think Harvey Grant probably had a better skill set than Horace Grant, but Horace played on the Bulls teams, you know, that one. He won three championships with them, and then he played on them good Orlando Magic teams with Shaq and Penny. So his career probably meant more. But I think Harvey, even though his career was a little more quiet, was probably, you know, as far as skills are concerned, probably the better twin of the two. And he's a shout-out to him. He's an assistant coach at Hampton University right now. I don't see how you can play in the NBA all those years and then be an assistant coach at Hampton. But, hey, moving up the ladder.
Right. No doubt.
B.
Austin, Harvey Grant.
Yo, it's funny, man. I would say the same thing. Like, Harvey had, like, more J-work and more ability and skill, but he played on some trash truck juice teams. And I remember his brother saying that he was better than Michael Jordan, and then that's the end of what I have to say.
What are you supposed to say, man? That's his brother, man. Anyway.
Peeps. My peeps got receipts.
Yeah. I mean, that's his brother, man. But anyway, so you guys know that it's his Harvey Grant's birthday. It's also one Horace Jr. Grant's birthday, who also turned 47.
Birthday. Yay!
Again, these guys were twins, you know, trying to get to the hands of some Grants like Horace. B. Austin, now when I say Horace Grant, what's your opinion of Horace Grant?
It's difficult for me to really say because I was such – of Mike Jordan Stanley, and I supported everything he stood for prior to him retiring from the Wizards and becoming what he is today. It's like I overrate all of those dudes. So I'm scared because I don't really think Horace was that good, but then at the same time, he's part of so many great, fond memories. That's all I think of. I just think of the ring.
Something has to be said for people that play within the system. When they lined up in the triangle, he did everything that was asked. You know what I mean? Like
he did everything that was asked. You're right.
Sometimes, you know, you got to give guys credit for playing within the system. And like you said, he also went to Orlando and had some good years with Shaq and Penny. But, Dev, when I say Horace Grant, you know, I guess you already talked about him a little bit with Harvey, but
yeah.
Horace
I mean,
Grant.
But, yeah, the consummate role player, which everybody on those six Bulls championship teams, whether you were in that first half or second half, it seemed like they did a great job of finding the consummate role player over and over again. And that's basically what Horace was. But I want to know why he has a nickname and Harvey didn't get one. Like, how that worked out, man.
Parents
I mean,
love
it's Junior, but I don't get it.
Yeah, no doubt. Let's go to the last birthday real quick. This RIP shout-out, by the way. We want to send an RIP shout out to the great owner, one of the greatest owners in the history of sports. That's George Michael Steinbrenner.
Hold on.
I actually think of Seinfeld, by the way, when we see Steinbrenner.
Those are some of the funniest episodes. No, I'm just going off what you said. Those are some of the funniest episodes when they were trying to, when they had that Steinbrenner character that would never turn around so you could see his face.
Uh-huh.
The boss, I mean, what can you say? I mean, he started out really shaky in the business. Not many people liked him. Seemed like he really didn't know what he was doing. But once he got that cash flow flowing, started spending those dollars, he got the Yankees back to what they used to be back in the old days. And, he got what he wanted. He spent that money to get what he wanted. Can't knock it. R.I.P.
You got to spend money to make money. D. Austin, any other thoughts besides calling him the evil empire?
I'm a Phillies fan, so anything I say would be disrespectful.
Yo, the Phillies stink right now, man. That's a whole sidebar. Yo, but they stink, yo.
How Cliff Lee getting his first win? How Cliff Lee just get his first win? Come on.
Yo, that don't make no sense, yo. And this has nothing to do with the birthdays, but the Phillies stink, so everything feels like it's getting back to normal.
We're
for
back.
A couple years. We're back to where we belong. We stink. Anyway, man, yo, Dad, tell everybody what happened this week while they were on the grind, good brother.
I will definitely do that. All right, people, while you are on the grind, it's brought to you by Philly Auto Design. Check out their website at phillyautodesign.com. Better yet, go to warroomsports.com, go to our sponsors page, and click on their logo. Doesn't sound easier, but it is. So while y'all were on the grind this week, Marcus Jordan, son of Michael Jordan, who we just spoke about briefly. You can't talk about Horace Grant without talking about Michael Jordan. Marcus Jordan was arrested for disorderly conduct, obstructing justice, and resisting arrest at an Omaha hotel. Now, this is what happened. According to a news release, the police responded to a call at an Embassy Suites in Omaha. I don't know what he was doing in Omaha, but we'll get to that in a minute.
Damn, that was my first question.
They found hotel security trying to subdue Marcus Jordan, who was having an argument with two women in a hotel driveway at 2:11 a.m. They said he was very animated, intoxicated, and uncooperative, and it took multiple officers to control and handcuff the young Mr. Jordan. Jimmy, first of all, what's your man doing in Omaha?
That's his next question. I didn't know he was getting no money in Omaha. Jay-Z. Seriously, though, what is he doing in Omaha, for one? And my next question, is he messing with nobody?
He's got the illest nigga in my Nebraska. They out there making belly fives or something.
He's got the illest nigga in Nebraska. Yo.
What question did you ask him?
With Snow Bunnies, man?
Oh, come on.
I just want to see if that's a Jordan thing, I'm
about
to
say it's a Jordan thing. I mean, come on.
Of course.
And,
who
else was in Omaha besides the Snow Bunny?
Yeah, that's true.
Yo,
that's true.
Before I went to Howard University, I really did not know that there were people of African American descent in the entire state of Nebraska, other than those at the college.
Yo, he said Howard University. Before I saw the movie Belly, I didn't know that there were people of African American descent in Omaha, Nebraska.
Yo. Oh, hold on, though. Hold
he was
on,
out there
on.
Getting money.
This is a side note. This is a side note to all that. Yo, I heard Michael Jordan's nephew is actually the one with the game, yo. They said his
He is. His nephew is nice.
Of course, Austin's about to overrate him because he's a Jordan. FOH.
His nephew is nice.
His nephew probably going to D2 FOH, but I'm just saying. Like,
are they
already,
speaking? Because, he might be having beef with his family sometimes. Are
Mike,
they speaking?
Everybody, man. Mike is like the Jay-Z of the NBA, man. Don't nobody like Mike, man. anybody he's been cool with him long enough.
I know what happened in the Marcus Jordan situation, though.
Go ahead, you want to speculate?
Yeah, it kind of went like this. I mean, why won't y'all kiss each other? I mean, why I paid this money? And y'all not gonna do what we agreed upon when I paid y'all this money. Do you know who I am? Come on, let's get back up in the room. Nah, officer, I got it. Come on,
usually
back up
when
in the
we
room,
speculate
Susie.
Here in the war room, we all take turns, but after that, I'm just going to leave it right there because I think you hit the nail right on the head and there's nothing else that I can say.
Hey, Dev, I have a quick question, though. When the cops grabbed him, do you think he told the cop, I should have just paid him like Shaq do?
I put a Kobe on it. Like, damn. He either did that or he pulled a, do you know who I am? Like the
I hope he didn't do that. That's the corniest thing ever, yo.
Do you know who I am? No. Young black dude about to get this nightstick. All right, so that's what happened with him this week. This is an interesting one. Pac-Man Jones. Remember a few weeks ago we reported that Pac-Man Jones was actually he asked the league if he could speak to the rookies at the rookie symposium. And, you know, we weren't sure if it was a good idea, if it was a bad idea. You know, who knows? It could have gone either way. But the highlight of this whole thing, and nobody knew this as well, Terrell Owens was also on the panel. But the highlight of the whole day was when Pac-Man Jones told the rookies that he once blew through $1 million in one weekend. And when he said that, even T.O. turned to him and said, man, you crazy. Yo, what do y'all think, first of all, dude blowing $1 million in a weekend, what could he have possibly spent $1 million on?
I don't know, man. I was banging 7 gram rocks and finishing them because that's how I roll. I have one speed. I have one gear. Go.
Go.
Yeah, Pac-Man got one gear. So what do you guys think he spent that on? And then what do you think, you know, what good or bad come out of him telling this to the rookies?
He spent it on the same thing that Mr. Jordan's son spent his money on.
Yeah, but they don't know yams cost $1 million, though. I mean, I don't know.
What?
It is when you're making it rain.
No,
you're making it rain.
If you want to get technical, first of all, $1 million isn't it's a lot of money, but it's not a whole lot of money. If you consider that, hey, he could have bought two cars, there we at maybe 600 to 700. Then he's got an entourage that he rolls with. Huh?
Then two cars and a lion? Two cars and a tiger?
Two cars and a lion. Two cars and a tiger. And sadly, in this day and age, I know this is going to sound bad for these rookies going into the league, but I believe the folks that would be able to understand, comprehend, and use him as a lesson already have the morals and values instilled within them from their parents going into that symposium. Most of those guys probably think, wow, isn't he cool? Look at how many times he's messed up, and he's still in the league, still getting a paycheck, and still acting like an ape.
Wow. The funny thing is, Austin, that we haven't even talked about this situation until just now, and what you said just now is so ironic, and you'll probably find out in the next 5 minutes why I said that. But go ahead, Jimmy. I really
believe that those that would understand how ignorant and how idiotic what he was saying was, I think they already know that. I mean, I see a lot of those misguided dudes thinking, well, if he can do it, I can do it, or it must not have been that bad, or how cool is it to blow money fast? Because that's what, you know, the rapper dudes say is cool to do, and, you know, all athletes want to be rappers, and all rappers want to be athletes. So I'm taking a glass half-empty approach to this, but that's kind of what I think. I don't think he's able to articulate principles, values, and mores well enough. He may have meant well, and I truly believe it came from a good place in his heart, but
I don't think he can articulate his ABCs well. But
I don't
right.
think yeah, but my thing is, which basically is like someone who watches a gangster movie, you know, and only watches the beginning. They don't see the end when the person who's up in jail for life is dead.
Right.
All they
right.
want to
hear
about
exactly.
is blowing their money. The one
exactly.
thing that I have to say to Pac-Man personally, you know,
is
every week.
I mean, there for me. You should be ashamed of yourself. There's not 1 week that goes by that we don't get to use that clip, by the way.
Of course not.
You know what? I'm thinking Jimmy should just make a "You Should Be Ashamed of Yourself for the Week" award. Give it out. That might be a new segment moving forward for our next 100 shows.
Call it the Black Man Lost.
But real quick, back to the him spending, you know, $1 million in a weekend, because, you know, Austin, we speculated a little bit on what he could have purchased. The only thing is, I get what you're saying, and I agree, there probably was some auto purchases in there, but when you say that to a group of people, it kind of sounds like I just had this whirlwind weekend. It really doesn't sound like, yeah, I just went out and bought a couple of cars, you know, because you could do that on Tuesday. You know what I'm saying? But he made it sound like I had this whirlwind weekend where he just went to 20 clubs, made it rain, you know, bought all kinds of, you know, stuff that I can't talk about on the radio. And, you know, that's just how it sounds. And it's Pac-Man Jones, so you never know, and you can't put anything past the dude.
Well, now that I think about it, you're probably right.
All right, so our last story on the grind. We only got three this week. This is sad, man, because we talk about this guy often, and every time it gets worse and worse for him. Roy Jones Jr. used to be a favorite back in the day.
Why you gonna put me up? Like,
this all started when somebody posted a picture on our Facebook page during the week, and it was a picture of Roy. It was a video of Roy Jones getting weighed in for a fight this past weekend in the middle of a shopping mall.
I'd like to explain something. You know, I ain't punchy. I got what you call, like, I don't know, a relaxed brain, but I ain't punchy, you know. It's just...
Yo, the video was hilarious because, you know, as he was walking to the scale, flexing and smiling with his drawers on and his socks, there were people with shopping bags coming down the escalator. Like, what's going on down here? Like, you know, who's walking through the mall with their underwear on? Getting on a scale. And they didn't have the usual regulation scale. It looked like they was wearing themselves on a bathroom scale or something. Like
doctor's office scales.
Yeah. He had the new doctor's office scale. Not even the joints where you slide the little joint. You know what I'm talking about. But I got some information on the fight. He was fighting a guy named Powell Glazewski. And he won, but it was a controversial win because Powell Glazewski dropped Roy Jones in the sixth round. And a lot of people, I didn't watch this fight. I didn't even know where you could catch this fight. They might have actually set the ring up out in the parking lot of this particular mall. So I don't even know if this fight is televised. Anyway, dude dropped Roy Jones in the sixth round. Roy tried his best to do his old, you know, his old number of clowning around and trying to embarrass the dude, but they said the dude was really beating the trash out of Roy, but they gave the decision to Roy anyway. So another controversial decision in boxing that nobody heard about because nobody knew where to catch this fight on TV.
Yeah, he's fighting with Shellingham Mall. Hey, O.B. Austin, man, you gotta cut this boy out, man. You can't keep claiming this dude, man.
I haven't claimed him in like 6 years, man.
Yo, it should be longer than that, man. Like, come on, man.
Yo, he improved to 56-8, but a lot of people think his career has been over since the second Tarver fight in 2005, man. Like, because he lost seven of his last 14 fights.
His career was over when the boy came out with a police uniform on. Before he was fighting the boy on his lunch break. When he fought the boy on his lunch break.
The UPS dude came out in his brown shorts.
Yeah, like, yo, his career has been over, man. When he was fighting cats on their lunch break, when he started doing that.
Yo, but he lost half of his last 14 fights, and four of them were by knockouts. And, see, it's different. You say that, but with him it's different. Four of them were by scary knockouts, like not career-threatening, like life-threatening knockouts.
Where you thought he was dead. Where you thought he was going to get up.
Where the doctor jumped up to the rope, the coroner jumped up to the rope.
And you hear the ambulance. Like,
yeah, Roy.
And before all of that happens, you see him fall, and he can't break his fall, and the back of his head, because he got a little lump back there, hits the canvas really hard. And you think his brain.
The bad part is, though, Austin, like, I was never a big Roy Jones fan.
I know.
You know, real recognized real. I respected his greatness. But, like, do you do when, like, do you remember his greatness? Because it's starting to fade away.
Just
so it's like,
add
Roy,
some,
stay great and roll out. Like,
just to add some intellectual value to this, instead of us just laughing at him for our listeners' sake, this is an example of an athlete who depended purely upon his athletic superiority rather than sharpening and honing his skill level and craft. Roy Jones didn't know how to jab. He didn't worry about defense. He was just so much the superior athlete when he got in the ring that he could just live off of being that much faster and that much stronger than any opponent in front of him. And it started to wear off, and it has worn off, and now you're dealing with a journeyman. He's essentially a journeyman boxer.
From everything I read, he has plenty of money. He just doesn't know how to stop. Like, he enjoys boxing that much. Like, is he on drugs? Like,
I enjoy getting shot.
Yo, Chuck, they must be on the pipe, right?
Yo, Roy,
but he doesn't.
Stuff,
he's
man.
Not good enough at boxing to enjoy it.
Not at this point, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, you could say Bernard Hopkins enjoys boxing. He's won, you know, most of his last 14 fights. Like, he probably, what he lost, like two?
Bernard,
maybe, you know, but
Bernard can give you, in a 12-round fight, Bernard can give you 7 rounds of pure excellence, even if the other 5 is him stretching and warming up and getting beat up by another person. Roy just gets in the ring and gets effed up. He just gets beat up.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it's come to. That's definitely what it's come to.
Because Bernard doesn't need athleticism. He's that skilled. Roy's the opposite. He has no skill. It's just all athleticism.
Yeah.
Remember, y'all go spreading that rumor.
We don't know for sure if he fought in the mall. We know the weigh-in was in the mall, but we're just assuming that they just set the ring up outside.
Not cleared out some of the parking lot. Not
who's
going to
really
the
pay
mall.
To see Roy Jones fight Grzuski? Like,
Was it in a mall, though, Dev? It looked like one of them malls. It looked like one of them malls where all the stores wasn't really open, so they just was down to do anything for the money.
Yo, man.
The video of that is hilarious, man.
The lady came down with some bags, though, and was looking.
She didn't know who he was.
She just saw dudes in their underwear walking around flexing their muscles and stuff. Like, that has to be a weird scene at a mall, especially if you're not a sports fan and you have no idea what's going on. Like, why is he in tighty blackie?
Dude came out of Foot Locker and watched the Roy Jones fight. Because he had, like, they had the 2-for-1 New Balance set on. He got to see Roy Jones fight, man.
Yo, man, let me go get this Ani Ann's pretzel real quick. Go watch this fight.
Yo, Roy,
but,
fought right in front of Buster Brown, man. Yo.
Yo, y'all shoot, man.
God. All
right, so we're waiting on PJ. We done stalled long enough. So, Jimmy, if you want to go ahead and bring back a segment that we haven't done in a few months, you can go ahead and do that,
God.
My brother.
No doubt. It's time to pass the rock. And pass the rock is brought to you by Bay Financial Services. For more information, go to our website, wolvensports.com. Click on that logo, which is Bay Financial Services. Now, for those who don't know what pass the rock is, we haven't done this in a while. This is with a starting five. We all bet on a chosen sports issue or report our favorite headline of the week. Basically, we get a couple minutes to see whatever it is we feel like saying. So with that being said, I'm going to take the rocket inbound on my brother B. Austin, a.k.a. the Hot Block Commander. So, B. Austin, what's good?
Listeners, fans, and family, I was going to come to you today and talk about one of my favorite athletes in the world, Valentino Rossi, the $35 million man. I was also going to talk about how Roy Jones should retire. I was going to talk about the current activity in the NBA with all of the trades flying around. And, yes, we got the big board up in the war room office, and we're on top of all of that. But the reality is this is our 100th episode, and I just would like to extend a heartfelt thanks to each and every one of you listening live, those that will listen in future, those that will support us, our blog, and everything that we do, and say that without you, We truly are nothing, and we really do appreciate you. Thank you.
Word up.
With that, I'm going to pass the rock to my brother Dev. Go ahead.
All right. I'm going to take the rock on the wing, cross half court, and see what's happening on the offensive end. But War Room family, like my brother Austin said, we do want to thank you. You know, 100 episodes, this is a lot. It's kind of a labor of love for us. You know, we work hard at this. This is not just a hobby for us. So, you know, we appreciate, you know, all that you guys do to do your part in this whole situation. But now, as you may have heard, especially because we just talked about it about 5 minutes ago, Adam Pac-Man Jones was asked to speak to the rookies at the annual NFL Rookie Symposium. While it seems strange to have the biggest, blackest pot in the pantry providing advice to a slew of shiny new kettles, I could see where they were going with this and how it could work. I view it as a scared straight type of deal, but the question is, can these guys really be scared straight? Would the plight of Pac-Man keep them from committing similar atrocities, or will it give them even more of a sense of invincibility? Instead of it telling them that if you behave like Pac-Man, you'll be severely penalized, it could potentially tell them that even after being named, questioned, or arrested 7 times in connection with 14 off-the-field incidents, they can still live their dream of playing in NFL football and potentially make millions of dollars. The league put Pac-Man up there as an example, but they haven't really made an example of Pac-Man, giving him chance after chance to continue his professional football career. Now, I'm not saying this because I want Adam Jones to lose his livelihood. I'm just wondering how effective it was to have him tell this year's rookies that he once blew $1 million in one weekend. Today's youth tend to look at that as a badge of honor more so than a weak-minded blunder. I'm just saying, y'all know it's true. Don't act like y'all can't imagine many of those guys smiling and saying, ballin' in their minds while they were listening to this speech. Just think about it. It could have basically gone either way. And that's, you know, basically what Austin was saying when we were talking about it. That's why I said it was ironic that you said that. But with that, I'm going to pass the ball to my man Jimmy at the foul line to see what he's going to do with the rock for the World Rock.
Yo, my fault, y'all. I'm still, like, in tears about Roy Jones fighting up Shetland Mall. So, you got to forgive me. I'm sitting here trying to keep a straight face, man. I never heard my life. Anyway. What's up, Lone World? This is Jimmy, a.k.a. the Blueprint, a.k.a. the revolutionary but gangster internet sports talk show host. First off, I want to say congratulations to myself and my comrades on our 100th show. No matter how many people steal from us, it doesn't matter because all of us are part of the talented 10, so they can't duplicate what we do. Now, this evening, I want to say a few words to the NBA owners. You guys should be ashamed of yourselves. You complain all the time about the amount of money that players are making, but you continuously give out egregious contracts. We just had a shortened season due to a lockout, so what are you ho-happy Jackies doing here? More stupid contracts. Next time the owners complain and try to get the fans on their side, we should just remind them of the types of decisions they continually make. Let me give you a couple examples in this offseason. Roy Hibbert got offered a max deal. Now, Dev, let's go ask you, Dev. Is he a max player?
Oh, hell no.
All right, it gets worse. Landry Fields got offered 3 years, $20 million. Seriously?
Ew.
Peep it. All of Landry Fields' shooting percentages declined in his second year. He shot 25.6% from three-point range and 56.2% from the foul line as a guard. And his player efficiency rating dropped in total as well. Now, some people say he was part of a bigger deal to try to get Nash to come play in Toronto or what have you, but what happens when you get stuck playing Landry Fields $20 million over 3 years? Now, Jeremy Lin got offered $30 million. Come on, man. Come on. Oh, it gets worse, though, yo. It actually gets worse. Listen to this one. Omar Asik, he only started 2 games and averaged 3 points and 5 rebounds. He got offered $25 million over 3 years.
Ew.
Yo, my man, yo, his numbers are 3 and 5. He got offered $25 million over 3 years. Now, I can name more, but at this point, you understand exactly where I'm going with this. The bottom line is the owners do need help. They do need to be protected, not from inflated contracts or the players' greed, but they need protection from their damn selves. And last thing, to all of our sons who I see stealing our material, including my slogan, dig this. I'm nice. With that being said, I'm going to pass the rock to my brother TJ.
Yes, sir. Yo, it's crazy, man. You got me in stitches with these egregious, deplorable contracts for these dudes, man. And just
3 to 5, cuz.
Yo, come on, man. Come on. But just like my brothers sent out there, you know, thank yous, I want to, you know, continue on that in that direction and say thank you to everybody that supported us, man. We didn't think, you know, we never knew it would come. It seems like it came so quick to 100 shows, and, you know, we're going to try to give y'all 100 more, just better than what you got already. So keep listening. Stop stealing our stuff. And I got a little something for you guys. I got a little something right here. This here goes out, without a doubt, to the young, chocolate, muscularly endowed, right about the glutes, quads, hamstrings, and hip flexors, the lightning fast Geneva Tarmo. Baby girl, where's your gumption? Baby girl, where's your gumption? Where's your heart, your competitive spirit? Now I realize that the Olympic Committee, abashedly unprepared to handle a third-place tie, dropped the ball on coming up with a suitable resolution. First, they want to flip a coin. Then they want y'all to play rock, paper, scissors. Then they want y'all to have a chitlin cook-off. But alas, they offered a 100-meter runoff. You against Allison Felix. Thick butt
Allison
size.
Felix?
There's a god somewhere else.
Exactly. I couldn't have said it better myself. Thick button thighs against thick button thighs. No additives, no preservatives. Just the two of you having it out in a sprint. And to the victor go the spoils. Now, I'm sure it's very anticlimactic to be anointed the winner, receive your bouquet, shed a crocodile tear or two, take your victory lap just to be told that you aren't, in fact, the clear-cut third-place winner. That really sucks. I can dig it. But guess what? That's life. You feel like you've been cheated and treated unfairly, but there's nothing you can really do about it. I understand Allison Felix is the more seasoned of the two, but you know her. You train with her, and it's not like she blew you out of the water in the original race. So why not just give it another shot to prove that you indeed deserve the third place slot? The Olympics only come around once every 4 years, and just like Jack Mosley told Shane Mosley in his first fight against Oscar De La Hoya, in between the 6th and 7th round. Come on, Shane. Come on now. You've been working for this all your life. You hear me, boy? You've been working for this all your life. That's what somebody needed to tell you. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's just me being an overly competitive, egotistical meathead. But it just seems to me that you chickened out. And though you'll participate in other events, notably the relay team, something tells me that the decision for you to concede your spot is going to precede you regardless of how you perform in London. And with that, look here, man, I'm going to just go for what I know. I only know that monkey, ape, baboon, West Africa gorilla type stuff. I'm going to take the pass Jim sent me, coming down the middle, head down, trucking jokers, en route to a double pump reverse sneak with the Jerry Curl block primate dunk. Done dislodged the backboard, stomped on the forehead of a Sports Illustrated photographer, smiled, winked at that cute big booty cheerleader, and then chunked up the deuces for old time's sake.
No crowd goes wild. Yo, PJ, I know we done did this 100 times, but, man, let them people know how they can get in touch with us.
I'm going to give them 101. First, y'all can check out our website at warroomsports.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the War Report. That's our weekly, originally created newsletter. Click on the Contact Us tab to send a message to us about our company, about our show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. Now, for general inquiries, you can always email us at info@warroomsports.com. While you're browsing the site, click on the memorabilia tab to buy War Room Sports merchandise, then click the blog tab to read our latest sports articles in the All's Fair in Sports and War blog. Then click the respective icons to like our Facebook page, to follow us on Twitter, to subscribe to our iTunes podcast, and to download our free War Room Sports mobile app on your Android or Apple devices. Watch our videos at warroomsportstv.com. Join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show. Get there by going to blogtalkradio.com/the War Room. To get into the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to create an account, you can always sign in through your Facebook or Twitter accounts. And while you're at it, click follow to make The War Room one of your favorite Blog Talk Radio shows and to get updates and reminders about the show. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room every week during the show. To call in and speak with the host, dial the Digital Extreme Tech hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk, because pressing 1 is like raising your hand. So raise your hand, and we just might holler.
Yo, hey, real quick, in our chat room, they having a little debate right now about your PCR. Some people say, PJ, that it's a conspiracy, that Nike, you know, made sure that Allison got her spot.
No, you know what it is? It ain't that Jennifer was scared of Allison. It wasn't Nike either. Jennifer Tarmo's family is from the Caribbean, and they made that phone call and let her know, listen, you don't want nothing with the Jamaicans, man, when you get out there to London.
Hey, hold up. That's the next topic.
We'll talk about that
y'all
later,
keep going.
Let's talk about that later.
Y'all can keep going, but let me just tell the audience who Hot Topics is brought to you by. Is your schedule too hectic to read as much as you want? Well, try audiobooks and kick back and let someone else do the reading for you. All you got to do is visit Audible, sign up for your free trial at audibletrial.com/warroomsports. In no time, you could be listening to the latest bestsellers, hands-free, stress-free, while getting other things done at the very same time. And I see that we do have a caller in queue, so we're going to go to Lauren in the D.C. area. Miss Wright.
Hey guys, how are you?
Hey,
Lauren,
what's going on?
Lauren, what up?
What up? Happy 100th anniversary episode, guys.
Thank you. First of all, you know we feel special because we got your message that you left us on the voicemail. We're actually going to play that later. And you called in live. So, you know, come on.
Yes.
Wow.
I put it on my Facebook page, guys.
I mean, it just feels like we're going to get free CDs, you know, when your new album comes out. That's what it seemed like, but, you know.
That's what I'm saying. That's how special I feel.
You know.
Exactly. Well, just know when it's done, you'll be the first to know, and I'll be sending you a copy.
Okay.
Yeah, when it's done.
Remember, we talked about it when you were on. I mean, when it's done, you got to come back on and host with us the whole show.
Yes, and you know I'll do it.
We're just gonna bug out the whole time.
Let's just do that. That's fine. I'm with it.
All righty then.
Lauren, we need a lot of good slow jams on this joint. So never mind. But we need a lot of good slow jams on your new album, yo.
Yeah. Okay. I gotta make a little girl. I didn't say that. But,
Well, I will definitely make sure there are some. There's a few. I think I'm actually going to come out the first one. You know how people know like a fast tune when they first come out with their album. I have a slow one. I think I'm going to really like it.
Gonna come out.
Oh, yeah,
with ballad on it.
Yeah, we're trying to do something a little, you know, different, more something that's more in line with my live show, because you know my live show is different from, you know, the CD. So we're gonna do more along those lines, so people can really get a better feel of the growth and, you know, and where I'm going with things.
That's what's up. All right, Lauren. Well, thank you for your call.
You're welcome.
You can hear your message get played too, because you know we're gonna do all.
Yay! Yes. Good.
All right.
Good,
so we
good.
Will
like
talk
it.
To you.
All right.
Bye, Lauren.
All right.
Take care.
All right, Lauren.
That was Lauren White, everybody, singer-songwriter. Y'all better watch out for her.
The show.
All right, so, yeah, back to these hot topics. Since we already were talking about that, we could just flip-flop and talk about Tiger right afterwards. But what do you guys think about the whole, you know, the continuing thoughts about the whole 100-meter runoff that never happened?
You already know where I'm going with it.
Go ahead.
She got that phone call. Yeah, rude boy.
She got a call from the original Jamaican Dandata.
Dandata.
The boy from Belly. The boy from Belly called
her. Jamaica's good.
My man Ox from the Garrison called her and was like, yo. So she was like, she just gracefully bowed out and said, Allison, you can go ahead and get that ass whooping waiting for you in London.
Yeah.
Well, some people say it's because of Allison's, like, she's more marketable because, you know,
Allison.
Uh, has a huge following.
Yeah, I mean, she's one of the mulatto champions of track. I mean, I guess.
Jimmy, you trying to say she got a huge natural following?
She has a huge following.
She can't get away from her following.
It's always behind her, though. It's always behind her.
She got a loyal following.
The chick Tarmo got a much bigger following.
Hold on, though. You know, mulattoes are taking over the world, man. You know, Blake Griffin, Darren Wade. Because also, look, the other one they're marketing like crazy, Lolo. Lolo getting a lot of, pub or whatever.
And Lolo not even really. I don't want to bust nobody's bubble because she is beautiful to place eyes on, but she not that good at what she does.
Yeah.
Damn.
She really not.
No, but let me give y'all, my thoughts on the whole thing. I mean, it's similar to what PJ was saying, but, because I heard a lot of, I heard different sides of the coin. People were saying, it takes a lot of preparation and, after trying to qualify in a certain amount of races, you're tired and this and that. But this is the Olympic Games. This comes up every 4 years. You're conceding a spot. She didn't qualify in the 200. The only thing that she's going to most likely be a part of is the 4x1 relay. But basically, you're giving up your chance at any type of Olympic glory.
Yeah.
And I'm figuring if you get over there in multiple events, that gives you more chance to come home with a gold medal or any medal for that matter. And you just concede because, your spirit is broken, you feel cheated. Like PJ said, I understand all of that. But when you're in, a competitive sport, you got to have a competitive nature. And you can't just give up your spot.
Go and beat them.
Especially to the Olympic Games. You didn't just give up your spot to the pin relays next week. The Olympic Games.
What do you think it is?
This is a race. About to race Tailwind Turner.
What makes it worse? I believe she's scared of the Jamaicans. But other than that, if they both run for Nike, Nike might have put that phone call in, or they run for the same shoe sponsor. But the other thing that makes this really bad is Allyson Felix is not a 100-meter runner. I mean,
right.
She can run the 100 meters, but she makes her money in the 2 and the 4. So for Allyson Felix to now end up in the 3 event, what they really want to do is give her an opportunity to get 4 golds. Or 4 medals, so she can medal in the 100, medal in the 2, and medal in the 4x1, and medal in the 400. So it's kind of, it's kind of
corny.
So, Austin,
you got conspiracy written all over this.
I'm not going to say necessarily conspiracy.
No, he got Brody written all over this.
It's got Brody written all over it.
She knew the Jamaicans was going to be there, though. It's not like the Jamaicans just came out of nowhere. I mean, they've been running like wild cheetah for years. Like, it's not
they had fallen off prior to 2008. And 2008, they came back on the scene because everybody – y'all crazy. Everybody knows about Usain Bolt. But the women's team put up big, big wins and big medals in 08. So now they've been running strong since, taking all the championships, the world championships. They shook, man. The U.S. is
but hold little... on, real quick. In our chat room, people seem to believe that the fix is in. Like, she got paid. Nike may have done it. She has more sponsors. Somebody said, what happens if Michael Phelps had a tie? Same thing would happen.
So you think they might be saying that because she looked
Subway
like Grace
Jones? Subway would have stepped in. Subway wouldn't have heard. They wouldn't
have heard. You think that because Geneva looked like Grace Jones in the face and Allyson Felix looked a little bit better than her in the face, you think that's what it's about?
Allyson is definitely marketable. You've seen Allyson on commercials. You never even heard, if you're not in the track, you probably never heard of Tarmo before that race.
Right.
Somebody said those same exact thing in our chat room. They said they didn't know who she was until then, but... Allyson is what they call her, the darling of women's track.
Right.
This is a little off topic, but it's a little on topic. I just had a question, and maybe, our Jamaican brothers and sisters can answer it. I know a few, so maybe they'll call me and let me know. But is it a law in Jamaica that, when you leave the country, you have to have something in your car with the Jamaican flag on it so everybody knows? Like, I've never seen a Jamaican driving without, something
that
on the
green,
mirror or the Jamaican
black,
flag
thing.
On the seat.
Yeah,
I just want to know
especially
that. So
the,
somebody want to let me know in the chat room.
Yeah, when they get the Maximus card, then the
hell,
Maximus.
Hell, there's a lot of Maximus going on, too.
That's
right.
They say, yo. But I ain't going to get to that, man, because y'all not going to say I'm, you know. But anyway.
Jimmy don't want to get no call from Lennox tonight. I heard you.
Keep it with the Olympics
show.
Real quick. 45-year-old Dara Torres, she failed to qualify for her sixth Olympic Games. She came in fourth. Actually, it could have been eight, but she sat out two for, I think she was having a baby one time or something. I don't know. But it could have been her eighth bid for Olympics, but she failed to qualify. She came in fourth in the 50-meter freestyle. And, you know, afterwards, it was crazy because you know the era was coming to an end. She kind of stayed in the pool a little longer than everybody else because she knew that it's the end of the road. She's 45 years old. It was already amazing that she was a part of the last two Olympics.
We belong together.
So, it was a sad moment for her.
If she would have participated in eight, that's a 32-year span, dog. Like, you've been competing for 32 years?
She was in, I want to say her first Olympic Games was it
88.
84 Olympics?
Damn. So you
I think
can
it was
attribute
84
that?
In L.A.
I
you
think
it was 84?
Damn.
I think she was in the 84 Olympics.
But
so,
I think
it might have been
so
88,
think,
but we'll check.
Yeah, I think part of that you can attribute to the sport that she's in. It's a non-impact sport, like swimming. Like,
yeah.
It's not, you know what I'm saying? So she's not putting the same type of toll. Don't get me wrong. Swimming is a heck of a cardiovascular, but it's not affecting her joints that way. It's not like, you know, a sprinter or somebody.
Yeah, think about all the things that took place.
Dev, you were right. 84.
84. Back in L.A., right? Yeah.
She was in 84,
wow.
88, 92, 2000, 2008, and was trying to get on in 2012.
I don't know if y'all remember, in the 2008 game, she had some PED rumors swirling around because she was so old, she was still doing it, and she was so diesel-looking, especially after having a couple kids.
I actually watched that race. The young girls that she was going against were, like, no joke. I mean, these chicks were, like, 6'5". And just like kicking her behind, like I mean, she still came in fourth. But I'm talking about the chick that won, that lapped her damn near. She damn near lapped her. I mean, you know, she's competing against the people that she's competing against.
That's
so she were not born when she started, though. They weren't born in '84.
Yeah, because the star for the American team, she's 17.
Yeah,
she's 17 years old.
Dara was in the middle. She was in the middle of her career when John was born.
Yeah, 84. The star of the team wasn't born in 94, let alone 84. That's crazy.
Dog, hats off.
I tip my Philly fitted to Miss Dara Torres, man. I tip it.
You tip it. That's what's up. So, y'all boy, he's in the news every week now. Tiger Woods won his tournament, the AT&T at Congressional in Bethesda, Maryland. And that's what I'm wondering. Like, every week, Tiger's back, he loses, he's done, he wins, he's back again. So we're not even going to get into that. Just say congratulations to the dude, Tiger, for winning, because this win is his 74th win on tour, and it puts him ahead of Jack Nicklaus for second all-time with tour victories. He's still four behind in majors. And at this point, with Tiger, that's all that really counts now. But, you know, even if he happens to come up and tie or break the major record one day, it'll also be good to have the record for most tour wins, period. So, hey, at this point, I guess because he's Tiger, a win is not a win. But if I'm him, I take it because I want that number one spot in both of them. So.
Yeah.
I think that
he's definitely participating in some extracurricular activities to ease his mind and relax him so that he can perform. I do think that he will make a return to some sort of form that we're used to, just not the pinnacle prior to the toots being removed from his life. I think that he will come back to a level of dominance. It'll be a tootless dominance.
I don't think so. He's not married. Why I gotta be tootless?
Pretty
but
much.
We talk about this every time he come up. So I ain't saying nothing. If y'all got something to say, go ahead.
He might be getting his stable back together. We shall see if he continues to perform at a high level. The stable's being put back together slowly but surely.
One thoroughbred at a time, right?
There you go. There you go.
All right, well, that's what's up, Jimmy, man. Let's play everybody's favorite game. It's the 100th episode. We couldn't do this episode without playing everybody's favorite game. So you go ahead and hook that up.
No doubt. It's time to play HOF or FOH. Now, I'll explain it to you in a second. But first off, HOF and FOH is brought to you by Stitcher Smart Radio. You can now hear our show, The War Room, on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your computer, your iPhone, your Android phone, your BlackBerry, your Palm phone. If you do have a BlackBerry or Palm phone, please, please go right to your roof and jump off. The latest episode is always available for you. No syncing needed and no memory or storage wasted. Downloading is easy. Click on the Stitcher logo on our website and listen. Or go to Stitcher.com/TheWarRoom. That's TheWarRoom, the one and only War Room. That's Stitcher.com/TheWarRoom. And then they'll ask you for a coupon code to be entered to win several thousand dollars. You know what you put in the coupon code? The War Room. TheWarRoom. At any rate, HOF for FOH is when we look at an athlete and determine whether he is an HOF, a Hall of Famer, or he can FOH, which is, you can figure it out. So, the athlete I'm going to bring to you. That's right. The athlete we're going to debate today was just in the news. He just actually switched teams yesterday. And some of you guys may think he's a lock, but let me just put it up for the War Room. We have our own Hall of Fame. Forget the NBA Hall of Fame. Let's talk about one Steve Nash.
Ooh.
Now, I'm going to start with Brother PJ. Do you think Steve Nash is indeed a Hall of Famer?
You know what, Jim? That's a good one, there, good brother. That's a good one you put out there on the put out there for us to politic on. I think that's tough, man. Because it's tough to balance between what I think should be and then what I think may happen because of who he is.
Let's take out what may happen. What do you think should happen?
I'm going to say yeah. I think I'm going to say yeah. I mean, I think in terms of him being if you're just looking at a point guard, right, if you're just looking at the point guard in a James Naismith sense of the position in terms of what he brought to a team as a distributor, you know, a floor leader, I think his statistics kind of make him viable, I believe, at least in the second half of his career. But I would say yeah. I still got to think about it because it's kind of like fresh in my head. But for now, I'm going to say yeah. I'll let y'all balance. All right,
well, let's move on. B. Austin, what's your opinion of Steve Nash?
My opinion of Steve Nash?
In terms of being a Hall of Fame
player. I'm a fan of the dude all the way around except on the defensive end of the court. I like what he brings to the game. I do think that he is a tad overrated. Because of subjective analysis of him as a player, people look at the fact that he's all around good guy, quote unquote. When you say Hall of Fame, I look at two things. One criteria that Dev has articulated the last time we played this game was, you know, do you have to game plan for a guy? Do you have to make your entire game plan around him? And then also, how dominant is he at the position? And when you look at him, you have to say that teams are game planning to stop him, because he's the focus of most of those most of the teams that he's been on for Phoenix, and even going back to Dallas, maybe a little less because you're talking Dirk Nowitzki being there. But I definitely think on those Phoenix teams, He's a two-time MVP, and there's never been a two-time MVP that hasn't made it to the Hall. Although one of those, I question whether he deserved it. So I've dallied around long enough.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm just going to say, yeah, I will put him in the Hall, even though he's
okay, so we got two for the Hall of Fame so far. There's only two of us left on. I'll go before you, Deb. I'll leave you for that. Because
okay.
I'm more personally saying FOH. I do think he's overrated. One of those MVPs he shouldn't have won anyway. He's a career 15-9 guy. When I think of the Hall of Fame, I think of the greatest players who have ever played the game. I think that if you're in the Hall of Fame, when the collective story of the NBA is told, your name cannot be left out. If we left out Steve Nash's name when telling the history of the game, it wouldn't matter. It wouldn't even mean anything. He's definitely overrated. But with that being said, he's a great player. I don't think I'm just saying he's a bum. He is a great player. But
and Jimmy, with the 15-9, you rounded up for him. You gave him the benefit.
I definitely rounded up for him. I gave him the benefit of the doubt saying 15-9. But what I'm saying is, the Hall of Fame is not just for great players. It's for the greatest of the greatest. I don't think he's there. I don't think he's ever been the best point guard in the game his entire career, not even for one season. That's just my opinion. I mean, he's his whole career, Jason Kidd has been playing. He's nowhere near the level of Jason Kidd, in my opinion. So to me, I say FOH. You know, you can go back to Canada and maybe go in the Hall of Fame there, but over here, FOH.
Damn!
Now, sir.
Yeah,
it's up
he went at it.
The,
he went out of country, eh?
no disrespect.
See, this
I
is
love,
difficult.
They got beautiful women. I love Canada. No disrespect to Canada, but he's not a Hall of Famer. Dev, go ahead.
Hold up there. I think, see, this game is difficult when you go first and when you go last. So when you go first, first of all, you have no idea who the subject is, and you just got to think fast. So you caught PJ off guard. For me, I had to sit here and listen to everybody. And I had the benefit, which could also be, you know, non-beneficial to me, to hear what PJ and Austin said on the positive side and then hear what Jimmy said kind of on the negative side. I mean, he wasn't being negative. He just said that he wasn't supposed to go in. But y'all all made good points, and it's hard to go last because it's like anything I was thinking, like damn, I didn't think of that. So it's very difficult for me, and I agree with what a lot of you brothers said. Jimmy made a really good point. Like, in the larger scheme of things, I think I would say that Steve Nash is a bit overrated. Now, as we tried to explain to you guys a million times, overrated doesn't mean that you're not good. It just means that you're rated higher than you should be rated. He gave you the numbers. He's, you know, his totals are 16,649 points, 9,916 assists. I don't know where that ranks him all time. But Steve Nash wasn't always the superstar that we look at him as today. You know, even once he did get to Dallas, he was still kind of just a good point guard. You know, once he left there, his career kind of took off. The part that's hard to argue, even though they are subjective awards, and I can agree with you, brothers, in saying that I don't know if he deserved both of them, he is a two-time MVP winner. Now, a lot of other criteria that get guys into the Hall of Fame, I don't really care too much about because there's a lot of guys that we would probably take out of the Hall of Fame if we had our say. But it's hard in the bigger scheme of things to keep a two-time MVP winner out of the Hall of Fame. So after my long spiel, I'm going to go ahead and say Steve Nash, barely HOF in my eyes. Barely. It's very arguable. I'm on the fence with this one like I was with Reggie Miller. I'm on the fence.
I was just about to say, he's kind of like a Reggie Miller type situation. If you're going to let Reggie in, you got to let Steve in. And then even
we're not
Jimmy
trying to do it
point,
that way, though. Because at that point, once you start letting these great but not all Hall of Fame players, then you just want to let everybody in.
I'm definitely not subscribing to the if you let somebody in, you got to let somebody in. I ain't going to do that. But
well,
even Reggie never came close to an MVP, whether Steve deserved him or not. You know, I put Reggie in. I don't even know if I put Reggie in. I forgot. These Jones be so good.
Yeah.
I might have said
yo,
no.
I don't think I put anybody we talked about in yet. Yo, my Hall of Fame will have like 10 people, yo. My Hall of Fame will have like 10 people in it.
Well, let me look. Based on your criteria, which
if I'm saying
think
barely
good,
on the fence, that means I'm kind of on Jimmy's side. I'm kind of on Austin PJ's side. It's confusing.
See, it's two fraudulent MVPs that makes everybody say he has to be a Hall of Famer.
And I can admit 100% that what sways me to put Steve Nash into the Hall of Fame is the two MVPs. If he doesn't have two MVPs,
you can't tell his story.
This
you can't tell the story of the league. You can't tell the story of the league and leave a two-time MVP out.
Yeah,
yes, you can.
I mean, he was never the best point guard in the league, but I think
he was
in the top. He was one of the – he would be in the discussion, so he was always
one of
the
smarter
top
players.
Two.
It's a joy to watch him play.
He could dominate games without putting
Let me ask you a question.
Numbers because he could demoralize defense.
I agree with everybody's statements here, and I preface what I said with – he is overrated, and I've had that conversation
with
a number of people.
Yeah,
like, people make him seem like
he's
more than he is.
Yeah,
like, he definitely is overrated. He's definitely overrated.
Is he better than Gary Payton?
No.
No.
He's not,
because
he's
two-time MVP is going to put his name up in the greats, whether we think he deserves it or not. And like I said, we don't go by everybody else's criteria, but the fact that
Gary
he has the award, even, you know, I can't take that away from him. Like, when we talk about Joe Dumars being a little overrated and being a good guy, he don't have two MVPs for us to snatch from him. So, it's like, I can't take away, even though we feel he may not have deserved them, I can't take him away. And I got to account
That's
for them when I think about it. So
that was
I gotta,
a good pick, Jimmy.
Lee Ward,
that was a good pick.
He's a soccer player. To me, like, I look at guys like Gary Payton. He's not better than Gary Payton. Like, come on, man. Like,
no.
But I understand those awards. Like I said, those awards are fraudulent. They're fraudulent. I'm taking them away, Dev. I know you said
he's better than the glove.
Now, obviously, I don't think we would play FOHHOF with this name, Jason Kidd, because I think he's pretty much a shoo-in.
Yeah.
But when you look at Jason Kidd and Gary Payton. I don't know, because that's kind of head-to-head versus career. Never mind, because I was going to say head-to-head.
I don't want to get into a count because we're already behind, but when you bring up Jason Kidd's name, like, he should have won an MVP, probably in Jersey.
Should have won a three.
How did Jersey get
to
the final?
Mm-hmm.
How did they get to the final?
Yo, it's three human beings in the league that owe their life to Jason Kidd.
Kenyon Martin.
Absolutely. Richard Jefferson
got a nice check.
And Vince Sanity owes his life to Jason Kidd. Because all the time when you had him two guards, when you had him two guards blowing Vince's doors off, and Jason Kidd would get frustrated, and you see him arguing on the sideline, and then Jason Kidd would just stomp off and throw his hands down and say, I'll take him. I'll guard him. You go over there. I'll guard him.
Well, let me ask you.
You know what? He owes those three guys owe Jason Kidd their life because Jason Kidd played with a bunch of players who could not dribble a basketball. And he set them up so wonderfully that they never had to hone that skill. You can say, what's the name, too? He played with
Ron Mercer.
Nah. The Matrix. He played with the Matrix for a little while, right? He can't dribble a lick.
Yeah.
Like,
he's scared
to
the ground when he dribbles.
Here's my question to you guys. When you give me your list of the greatest point guards of all time, how high or how low does Steve Nash fall in terms of your best point guard?
Top 20.
You're going to have to let us do that. You gotta let us do that as a homework assignment. We bring
of
that
all
back
time.
To
you got Nate Archie Law.
Yo,
yeah, it's a lot.
Jimmy
of
is yo, J, yo, for real. Jimmy is killing me, yo. He's killing me. Cause now
that's
thinking,
why we gotta move on for Jimmy changing everybody's mind.
Andre Miller. Yo, I would take Andre Miller over Steve Nash, yo. And
but
Andre ain't going nowhere near.
You got
Andre Miller in the Hall.
No, Andre ain't going nowhere near the Hall.
Andre can't get
in
the Hall. Hold on, though. So you telling me he in the Hall, but you take Andre Miller over him? I'm done,
because
man.
Because of impact on the game, though. See, I like.
No, but Jimmy, he admitted
stats for playing for a D'Antoni the same way Amari got a bunch of inflated stats. So them MVPs are fraudulent. He's not a winner. He got a bunch of inflated stats from playing in Phoenix. When he didn't play in that system, what happened?
We'll get
what you going to say, Dez?
Doc Bay will call in later, and we'll get his opinion on it. But no, we got to move on because, you know, Jimmy
yeah,
going
no
to make him not even like the Bull, period. I'm starting to not like
him. And here's the thing, though. You know, he's a legend now. I'm still slandering him.
I know. That's what I say, Jim. That's going to be your Aki in a minute. But anyway.
But as a Laker fan, Jim already got enough. He already got enough titles, like, you know.
Yeah. Come on, man. As long as Mike Brown is coach, the Lakers ain't winning nothing. I could say that right now.
All right.
Anyway,
right,
let's move on, Mark.
So that HOFOH, it looks like Steve gets in to our Hall of Fame barely. He has, you know, Jimmy voting against him. We got to get Akil's vote, but it wouldn't sway it either way. But let's move on. As you know, because we talked about it the whole time, this is our 100th episode. That's a lot of episodes, man. But we have had a lot of special guests on the show throughout this time that we've been on the air. And during the week, you know, before the leading up to the show, a lot of our past guests actually called in to our company voicemail and left us a message. So we're going to play the voicemails that we got this week, basically congratulating us on our 100th episode. And before it even starts, man, we want to thank everybody for doing this. We appreciate it. We appreciate the fans. We appreciate our guests, everybody. So we're going to start off. I think this was Roy from the Broad Street Line, another sports talk show.
What's up, everybody? This is Roy Burton calling from the Broad Street Line. And on behalf of myself and my co-host Chris Domingo, we just want to congratulate the War Room on reaching 100 episodes. For those of you out there who don't listen to the War Room every week, you're missing out on one of the best Marshall Faulkner shows around. And fellas, you know when ESPN finally gets around to cutting that check to you guys, don't forget to give us at the Broad Street Line a shout-out on your way to the top. The first 100 episodes are any indication of what's in store next. It's only a matter of time before the War Room takes over the airwaves, both internet and TV. So again, Chris and I just want to say congrats on episode 100, and we're definitely looking forward to linking up with you guys again in the future.
Yeah, that's what's up, because, you know, with all the praise that they gave us, they have a hell of a show themselves. Like, I love listening to the Broad Street Line. It's funny. They know what they're talking about. It's, I don't know. I love that show. But, you know, I don't know who out there remembers, but Roy hosted with us on Thanksgiving this past year, and we had a ball with him doing that. So thanks to him for doing that. We're going to go to our next message.
Hello, this is stand-up comedian, diehard Eagles fan, and loyal listener Aaron Jackson calling to wish Warm Sports and the guys congratulations on their 100th episode. Love what y'all do. Keep doing it. We'll keep listening. You guys don't look a day over 99. Congratulations, y'all.
Thank you, Aaron. H-U love. One of the funniest ladies out there. We had a good time when she was on the show as well. I mean, it seems like when people call into the show, you know, everybody just gets comfortable. And it's a good feeling to make people feel at home. And, you know, we just talk like we're just having a conversation amongst friends when people come on, whether we know them well or we don't know them at all. And we definitely had a ball with Aaron. You said who better not call in?
Steve Nash.
Oh, he going to call in and get you a piece of mind. Like, yo, I'm playing for your squad next year.
Mm-hmm.
Our next message is actually from Lauren White. She called in earlier. Let's see what she had to say to us.
Hey, guys. It's your girl, Lauren White, wishing you a happy 100th episode. And just want to say happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear War Room. Happy birthday to you. Happy 100th episode anniversary, guys. Have a good day.
Damn.
Yeah, Lauren, no.
I don't know. I'm sitting here like, I don't know what to say. She was killing it.
Yeah. Thank you, Lauren. Man, we ain't know we were going to get a nice serenade like that.
Got a nice little serenade.
She sang, yo, she sang that from the chest, brothers. That came from the heart.
Thank you, Lauren.
You
appreciate the message, and we appreciate the
We love you, Lauren. We love you.
Let me see. We got a message here from former NBA player, current NBA agent, Mitchell Butler. We need to talk to Mitch and see what his client, Dwight Howard, see what's on his mind. Cause Dwight
money-making Mitch!
Yeah.
Hey, yo, B!
Hey, this is Mitch Butler wishing the War Room congratulations on your 100th show.
Yo, I know y'all remember this, man. His episode was one of the more enlightening. You know, he was one of the more enlightening guests that we had. By the time Mitch went off the show, he had us, like, planning nonprofits and trying to help the kids. Yo, Money Making Mitch had us about to start a basketball league, like a FUBU league for us by us.
Yo, he had us thinking we could go up against David Stern.
We still got big plans, Mitch. We're not going out on you. We're just slowing it down a little bit. Because I'm telling you, that week after, we was planning big things. Big things. Who we got here? Some more HU love and some more, you know, some more philanthropy. Omar McGee. He's the head of the new school that's opening out in L.A., Executive Prep Academy. It was going to be named David Bing Academy of Finance, but the board just recently changed the name. We'll see what O had to say.
How you guys doing? This is Omar McGee, the founder of the Executive Prep Academy. I'm calling to thank you guys on your 100th show and all the things that you guys do for our academy and our foundation. And I wish you guys the best. And, you know, thanks for having the best talk show in sports history. Thank you, guys. Love.
Hey!
That's what's up. That's what's up. We're gonna try to live up to that, too. But much love to O and the Executive Prep Academy.
He are.
You know, O, he's our networking guru. You know, he gets us in touch with a lot of money makers, move makers, the movers and shakers. We just got to follow up on things and get the things done that we want to get done. Because people, we have a lot of big plans besides just the show that we bring to you every week. We got a message here from Rob Parker. Probably know him from First Take on ESPN. He's on there arguing with Skip Bayless a lot. He's been on the show, what, 3 times, fellas?
Yeah, the homie.
Rob Parker.
Hey, what's up? It's Rob Parker from ESPN. First Take and Numbers Never Lie, calling the War Room to wish you guys a very, very happy 100th episode show, and keep up the good work with the good sports chat, sports talk, and I appreciate being on the show and all the work that you guys do. Again, happy 100th show, and may you have 1,000 more. All right, peace.
My man.
Looking, Rob.
That's my Detroit player.
Like I said, we had him on.
Them for my hooligans.
Had him on like 3 times. Probably the funniest time was it after the Super Bowl when he was kind of floating?
Because he was
Aaron Rodgers
fan. I'm going to tell you something real quick. I'm going to always take up for Rob Parker no matter what sports debate it is because like me, he hates Brett Favre. So that's my man just for that.
He's your brother in hatred.
That's my Detroit player. Listen, man, I can't stand Brett Favre, but let's move on.
All right, so we got a message here from the homie, Tracy Lee, MC out of Philly. Y'all know Tracy Lee, Party Time. Held it down with Biggie back in the day. That's my man, Tracy Lee.
Yo, what's good? This is Tracy Lee. Wishing War Room Sports a happy 100. You dig me? Happy 100, man, to the greatest sports show on earth. It's Party Time. Let's get it, man. Easy.
Yes, sir. And we plan to have Trey Lee back on the show when his album drops later on in the year. He's going to come on and host with us. He's an avid sports fan. And when he comes on, man, both of his appearances were supposed to be like 15 minutes. He ended up being on with us for like 30, 35 minutes both times, so... We just told him, man, just come host the show with us, man.
Yeah, that's the homie.
We ain't got to worry about time.
Nice, by the way. Sorry,
yeah. We got one here from an NBA coach. You know, we call him Slavery Johnson. He's a part of the team. Let's see what Slavery had to say.
Go tell it on the mountain
over heels and out. Oh, I'm sorry. Hello, yo, guys. Hello, guys. Hey, it's Avery. Listen, guys, I just felt as though I had to call in because I just got word that you guys got 100 episodes coming up on Thursday. Hey, guys, listen, this is amazing. This is an amazing feat because the fact that you guys were able to comprise 100 quality shows just shows the type of the level that you guys are on and the type of content you guys are putting out there. Great quality sports content. I'm so proud to be affiliated with you guys. I'm a great friend of the show. I just wanted to call in and say congratulations. 100 episodes is amazing to me. And I know you guys are going to continue up the ascension of prosperity and success just as I did with the Admiral Dave Robinson as well as Timothy Duncan when I played in with the Spurs. And we won multiple series. I know you guys can do it. So I just wanted to call in and say congratulations because I'm so proud of you. And I know that if you keep up the great work that you've been doing, it's going to be a very successful time for you guys. There's greatness that's on the horizon. Hey, guys, I see it. I see it. So congratulations. I'm so proud. I'm welding up with tears. Let me get your tears. But I just want to say congratulations on your 100th episode from Coach Avery Johnson here. Okay? Keep up the great work. I love you guys. Goodbye.
Yo,
man.
Slavery,
man.
Mom, what
do you
mean, man?
Yo,
Slavery Johnson, y'all. Slavery Johnson.
Slavery was tight. We was long
and
with
we see
you.
We got some callers on the line. Hold tight, caller. We got one more message that we got to play from a manager of one of our hometown teams. You know, he calls in every once in a while to see what's up. This is our Uncle Charlie, man. It's our Uncle Charlie Manuel.
Hey, y'all. Hey, it's your favorite uncle. It's Uncle Charlie Manuel. But I say that with this call today, you know, I'm not like your favorite uncle. I'm like your proud uncle. I'm so proud of you guys. You know, like you guys got 100 shows under your belt. And 100, I'm like, God, no. You know, when I heard that, you know, I called in. You know, I was like, I ain't got 100 shows already. But I appreciate what you guys are doing out there. You're putting out that great quality content, you know, like great out there on the mainstream. You know, I just am proud of you. You know, I say, it's all about consistency. You know, I tell the guys, I tell Ryan Howard, Chase Utley, yeah, I tell those guys, like, and I tell them, look, a mule is home runs, but I'm like, can you do it again? Yeah, I can hit another one. Well, you guys put out 100 shows. You didn't just do one show. You didn't just do two shows. You did 100 great shows. All right, I love them. You know, I love them. So I'm going to get off here. I just want to tip my cap to you. Say, you know, like, congratulations, guys. You know what? You know, I'm going to tell you what I want to do. You know what I want to see next? You know, I'm going to tell you this right now. I want to say 200. You gave me 100? Yeah, I want to say 200. Then, yeah, I want to say 300. I 400, and then when you go 500, yeah. I can't count them higher than that, but I know, like, you know, I know it's a higher number. I want to see you get those. I want to see you reach them. So, no, you can. I love you guys, Boardroom Sports. That's your Uncle Charlie Manuel. Stay out, and as I always tell you, y'all my homies.
Uncle Charlie, man. That's Uncle Charlie. That's what I'm talking about. We got a couple of live calls on the line right now. We're going to go to our homie from the Midwest, Jeff, ranked top five sports talk in Chicago. JT, what's
man.
Up, buddy? You in the war room.
JT!
What's up, man? First of all, I want to say congratulations on your 100th show, man. Y'all doing it
Thank
big.
You,
I wish I could have left a message or something like that, man. You know, I felt like y'all big time, man. Y'all got all the big stars and everything calling in Uncle Charlie. Uncle Charlie, though. I was
Uncle Charlie,
like
that's
laughing.
My man.
Man, but hey, you know, big ups to y'all, man. Y'all doing big things, and congratulations, and keep it going, man. Y'all like a model for people to follow, so keep up the great work, man. Appreciate y'all.
Thank you, bro.
Thank you, homie. Hey. Thanks, man.
What's going on out in Chi-Town, man? I'm not even going to be on next week. This is Dev. I'm going to be out in Chi-Town from Thursday to Sunday, so I'm going to hit you up and see if you're really busy. Maybe we can get together while I'm out there.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. We definitely can connect. You know, it's no problem. We get the whole team on behalf of Ranked Top 5 Sports Talk Radio. Y'all know Juana, First Lady Sports, and Pete Coop. Congrats to y'all, man. Keep the work up, man. We appreciate it.
You definitely got to bring Pete Coop out, and you definitely got got to bring Juana.
Absolutely got to bring Juana. Hey, Dad, I'm going to make that trip with you, Dad.
See that. But thanks for your call, man. We appreciate it.
All right, no doubt about it. Y'all take it easy, man.
Cool.
All right.
The phone line's blowing up right now. We might not get into this basketball talk. Of course, we got Doc Bay on, one of the hosts. He's on the line. What's up, Doc Bay? What's going on?
What's up, fellas?
What's up, Doc? He down in the Lone Star State handling that war room business.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I just wanted to call in and obviously congratulate you guys and myself on making it to 100 shows. You know, we covered everything from blood doping to Tiger Woods to the basketball, football, college, everything. And, you
man,
know, we just keep growing.
Man, we even talked about Madea on this show.
We talked about Tyler Perry on this.
Yep. The black protectionist. And one thing I would like to say in regards to to Tiger Woods that you guys touched on earlier. You know, I think, you know, I'm real big into the brain health and brain study, and I feel as though he has not been getting the proper brain treatment that he's used to from the tutors that he's used to receiving his tutelage from.
Yo, so therefore, can't get the double entendre.
Yeah, so therefore, since he's not getting the proper brain stimulation, I think that's what why he's been struggling. But, hey, shout-out to him. He might be getting that stimulation now since he got that win. So, shout-out to Tiger Woods.
Hey, real quick.
Steve Nash.
Hall of Fame, FOH or HOF?
Steve Nash, HOF. HOF, I got to give him the HOF.
Come on, man.
I got to give him the HOF.
Since he made it into our Hall of Fame with a vote of 4-1, like when Jimmy walked past his bust in the War Room Hall of Fame, he going to spit on it.
Yeah, man.
I was the
man.
One who didn't want you in here.
He don't deserve it, but that's neither here nor there, man.
With you being a Lakers fan, I don't think he makes y'all better. I mean, I think he makes you guys 10 points better per game on offense, but 10 points worse per game on defense. So kind of a wash in the trade.
A wash.
Yeah, so with that being said, how's he a Hall of Famer then?
Yeah. All right, well, look.
Doc
Bay
is a
regular host.
How are you
host,
a Hall of Famer
so,
and you can't make a team better? I'm sorry. We can get to this
it's
later.
Because he's 40 now.
No, but listen, since Doc Bay is a regular host, you know, he just hang tight on the line for as long as he can. Just let us know when you got to drop. But we're going to go to Brent.
Okay.
Our baseball aficionado. You need to get on here and talk some baseball one of these days. Easily. You're in the war room.
Hey,
what's up, brother?
Doc Holliday.
What's going on? Yeah, Doc Holliday. He back after the break, too. Yeah. I'm going to make it short and quick. Congratulations. Huh?
The Phillies stink.
Yeah, they do. They do.
Man, let my man talk, man. Go ahead,
Ethan. Gotta keep the face, Joe. I was going to say congratulations on y'all 100th episode and keep up the good work. I just wanted to give y'all a quick call real fast and say hello and congratulations.
Right.
And
thanks,
I'll talk to y'all guys later.
All right, man. Thanks for the call,
man.
Thanks, Brent.
All right, no problem.
We got another caller on the line. One of the hardest working bloggers in the nation, Leroy McConnell III, aka KC Mac. In the war room, bro. What's going on?
What it do, fam?
What it do?
And congratulations on that 100.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You for
thank you, brother.
Be part of it, man. I appreciate it.
We getting
all
from the Midwest. The Midwest, the down south, everybody calling in.
Yeah. Hey, you know, I know about y'all. I got a dilemma, man. I need some therapy. What the hell is Mark Cuban doing to my basketball team?
Yeah, I don't know, man. That's crazy. But that's actually, we're going to, like, our last 30 minutes is going to be on all the movement and non-movement
in
the NBA. So I don't know. We're gonna touch on that in a minute, man. But it's crazy. But make sure you stay tuned because we're about to give away some money in about.
I'll say.
Maybe Cuban on the fixed income. That's why we ain't making no movement down here in Texas.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe Cuban. He might be blowing money fast because I heard he just dropped his Facebook stock.
And
he's not spending money to make the Mavericks better.
In New York doing that Shark Tank, whatever that TV show he's been doing.
Look, man, he's trying to make bread. He's trying to diversify himself, man. But he has some big plans. It just doesn't seem to work. You know, you can't, you know. That's how it happens sometimes.
We can't even get Ramon Sessions to come down here. This is a shame.
All right, man. Thanks for your call, man. We appreciate it.
Man. Congratulations once again.
Thanks, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks, boss.
All right, and we got DJ Willie G on the line.
Florida's
in San Antonio, but he's from
DJ Willie G.
Tampa Bay's number one fan, Willie G. What's up, brother?
What's good, man?
Turn your radio down. I just always wanted to say that. Go ahead.
What's good, man? I just called and said congratulations with y'all boys, man.
Thank you, Willie G. We appreciate it.
When the first thing started kicking off over email with Dev and them cats, man.
Yeah.
Hey, Willie,
worried about Mark.
What's up?
You part of Laker Nation too, man. What you think about Steve Nash?
I think it's a good offensive pickup, but if we don't get Dwight Howard to hold down that paint, it might be a long season.
He's from zone all season.
I'm saying it's a good offensive pickup, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But my only thing is like a lot of people have been saying, he dominates the ball, so what Kobe going to do if he ain't picking and rolling, you know what I'm saying, and running off screens and stuff? And Kobe
don't worry about that. He going to give Kobe the ball. But DJ Willie G, thanks for your call, man. Stay tuned.
Man,
we're about to give away some cash in about 9 minutes, so stay tuned.
Let me hold that.
Hey, Dad.
Throw him, turn his radio down. Yo.
Hey, Dev, Steve Nash just left a message, too. He said he heard us talking about him. So let me tell you what Steve Nash just said.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
Shout out to Steve Nash.
Calm down, Stevie. Calm down, man. It's going to be all right, man. You made it. I mean, we landed you a little
man.
Bit. We gave you a couple backhand compliments in the process, but.
He's
amazing. So, hey, Jim, before we give out this cash, you know, we'll just do that in the middle of our NBA talk. So, it's already 7:30, so we definitely got to get into that.
I mean, thanks for all the love, everybody. Let's jump right into some NBA talk. Let's see here. All right, now, here's the thing real quick, right? There's been a lot of moves going on.
I ain't playing basketball.
We were on the air. The last time we were on the air, they had the draft went down. There's been a little bit of a lot of egregious contracts offered and signed. But first, let's start with the hometown Philadelphia 76ers. What do you guys think about the Sixers draft?
You know what I think about the Sixers draft? Like I do every year, I think Andre Iguodala gonna get traded. They keep drafting people at this dude's position. You know, you always hear his name in rumors. I think Harkless is a pretty good pick. I was kind of hoping that Sixers went big man. I was kind of hoping for Perry Jones III.
Perry Jones.
Yeah, I mean, now he's one of those guys that's like uber talented, but you really don't know what you're going to get from game to game. But I was willing to take that flyer, you know what I'm saying, because the Sixers are in desperate need of a big man. You know, you hear rumors that they might amnesty Brand. I really don't know what the point of that would be at this point because the only
big
guy
man.
You know. He don't have that much time left on his contract. So they should have done that at the beginning of the last season, you know, if they were going to do it. Spencer Hall, he's not bad, but, you know, I'd like to have somebody a little more athletic down there. I mean, he's like, you know, what we talked about in prior weeks. He's a part of that dying breed, kind of the big man, the slow, slew-footed. You can throw the ball down there to him. I mean, he can't dominate, so we can't throw it down there to him every play or anything like that. But, you know, Spencer Hall can score a little bit.
And he got mean range. He shoot one of them Jays that a kill hit hate with his foot right over the 3-point line. He go out to like 22. I'm like, why are you shooting from 22-5 when you could just step back a foot and it'd be a three?
So, man, that's beyond his range. That makes a huge difference in his shot.
I wonder if
with me, I look at the Sixers draft. I look at Harkless as, you know, just another one of the, you know, stockpiling power. I mean, small forwards that the Sixers have been getting over the last 2 or 3 years because they're trying to look for the right combination where they can probably trade our only real tradable commodity in Andre Iguodala. So that's what I look at.
Yeah, I feel that because even Thad, it's like when we drafted Thad, he plays at the four, but he's really not a four. He's a three.
Wow. Anyway, man, let's move on, man. Let's talk about AG, the big ticket, a.k.a. Big Ashy. He signed with the Celtics. 3 years, $34 million. What's your thoughts on KG re-signing with the Celtics?
I think KG goes as – if you have the right pieces around him, he's still – a 19-8, maybe even 19-10 guy, but you just can't ride that train, pause, as if it's, you know, 2005. I think
listen,
that they, if they don't, what do they have around? They've got an aging Pierce who still can go. But
they got a couple players in the draft that he possibly can help grow. My thing is 3 years, $34 million. Maybe now he could buy some lotion, man, because that's the ashiest dude in the league.
You thought maybe now that dude had the highest contract.
Yeah, I know he had a $100 million
contract.
I guess he's like, look, I got all this money. I'm just gonna walk out here ashy and ball out. It don't even matter when you got that kind of bread.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
And you know, we used to talk about that kind of stuff. On front, we used to talk about that kind of stuff. Like, you know, if I had that kind of money, you know, I wouldn't
care.
I know,
probably,
but none of us ever did it though. We
probably walk
about
around, just eat powdered donuts all day.
Probably walk around barefoot with a leaf. I probably wear a loincloth. Like I wouldn't even shower.
Walk around in a diaper.
Yeah, if I had that kind of bread, so I'd definitely walk around with a diaper with thumbtacks in my ass. Anyway, let's move on to the next deal, man.
Hey, but
real quick,
my
that's
only question
about KG.
Oh, yeah, my only question about KG is, how do you go from is KG going to retire to giving him a 3-year contract? That's what I'm like.
$34 million for $11 million.
Yeah, I'm thinking
that
if he was going to resign, it was going to be, you know how Jordan was in his last few years with the Bulls, a series of 1-year contracts if he still wanted to play. But how do you go from I'm going to retire? He might retire to signing him to a 3-year deal. Now I know he balled out in the playoffs and he looked like the younger KG, but was that enough to prove that you should give him 3 more guaranteed years? I would
put
that up 1 year here, 1 year there.
Oh, wow.
I about to say he fooled Danny Ainge in the playoffs.
Playoffs?
Anyway, I don't know how that happened, but to be honest with you, I thought like you. I thought at most he would get a 2-year deal. 3 years is kind of pushing it. But with that being said, let's talk about another old guy, Steve Nash. He negotiates a sign-and-trade agreement with the Lakers. Another older guy. I gave my opinion. As long as Mike Brown is coach, I don't care if they would have signed LeBron and Kevin Durant. They still wouldn't have won a chip. But what's your guys' opinion on Steve Nash and what he does for the Lakers?
He makes them more of a defensive liability. I think that pick and roll, he'll be good in the pick and roll for the further development of Andrew Bynum. They can use Powell a little bit better. I think Kobe, I mean, when we ask what is Kobe going to do, I think it's kind of an insult to Kobe because of the level that I personally view Kobe on. He's good enough to where he's going to get his 25 to 30 points per game no matter what offense you run, no matter who's at the point. And so now I think when they're in the game together, you know, Steve is going to defer. When Kobe sits for a while, Steve can take over and run that high pick and roll, and that'll be that. Defensively, it's going to be very interesting to see. I mean, Mike Brown has a reputation as a defensive coach. Steve Nash cannot stop the 2006 version of Bradley Anderson. He could not. He's a little dude.
I mean, but being realistic, though, I mean, think about the Lakers' front line. You know,
right.
Your point guard, I mean, you would like for your point guard not to just open up the floodgates every time down the court, but they have enough sitting back there, you know, if that happens, they're fine. I mean, especially if you have aggressive point guards who want to go all the way to the hole. Now, they might get beat up on the driving kick a lot because if they, you know, close off the lane to try to stop Steve Nash's man from bludgeoning them, a team that can sit out some three-point shooters on the edges could probably, you know, get at them offensively.
Yeah, like OKC just won the West and a three-point shooter. Yeah, listen, though.
Mike Brown going to step it up, Jim. He going to craft the defensive scheme to hide the deficiencies of Steve Nash.
I don't believe. Listen, in our chat room, I'm laughing in our chat room. Aaron said that Steve Nash makes the Lakers more Canadian.
They're going to go out and sign Jamal McGlure.
That sums it up.
The awesome.
Sums it up.
Enough with that, man. Aaron,
all right, look, let me cut you off real quick.
Okay,
yeah,
okay. You just Kanye'd me real quick.
Yeah. He's like, excuse me, Jim. I'll let you get back to that in a minute. But we're about to give out some cash here. It's our 100th episode. We figure, you know, we give out $100 cash. Probably the only time we're going to do this because when we get to 1,000 episodes, if y'all expecting this, you're crazy. But we want you guys to call in right now. First call, this is the easiest $100 you can ever make in your life. The first caller to call in and tell us the date of our very first episode will win a $100 Visa gift card from the War Room and War Room Sports. So we're going to get back into our basketball conversation. We're going to watch the phone line and good luck to one lucky caller.
And God bless.
Dev, you can screen that real quick, Dev, while I bring up the next topic to the gentleman.
You know what, though?
Speaking of contracts.
I mean, since the contest's going on, we're not even going to screen. We're just going to bring them on.
All right, no doubt. Well, let's bring this call on.
I'm
going
to go to the other one, though, because somebody was on there. Well, they dropped off. That person was on there before we even announced
the contest. Well, they dropped off
anyway. Them anyway. All right, so we're going to go to the phone lines real quick. 443, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
This name, oh man, I was just sitting here thinking, I don't know the problem, man.
Naeem, you ain't getting that $100.
You only get
brother.
One guess.
Oh man,
he called in like, yeah, that's what he got to do is call.
What's going
man,
on?
They got a question.
Congratulate y'all. Congratulate y'all on your 100th episode. I'm trying to think of the date. I really cannot remember.
He's trying to think of that while he's talking. What do you think about Steve Nash on your Lakers, then? Thanks for the congratulations, too. What do you think about Steve Nash on your Lakers?
It's mixed emotions. I know defense is going to hurt us. But on the offense, it's going to help because he can spread the ball around. And Kobe lobbied to get him, so, I mean, I really think he wants him there. Somebody to play the point to get Nash, I mean, get find him the ball and spread the ball around. If the trade goes with Gasol to the Sixers for Iggy, I'll be happier, though.
That's what I was telling somebody yesterday, man. The Lakers have been coveting Iguodala for a long time.
They wanted
Ron Artest was their
QB.
Contingency plan. That was their plan B. I think they always wanted Iguodala to run next to Kobe instead of whoever else.
He can run the floor, though. He can run the floor. He young legs. I mean, I have people at my job talking about who we going to sign next, you know, Jerry Stackhouse and everything, so...
We had some calls. I guess they dropped off. We was gonna give somebody. I thought somebody called.
Everybody dropped off. So they can figure out what's popping with that date.
I mean, congratulations again. I know 2000. I can't remember the first date, and that's sad. I remember it.
If it pops back into your head, call back in. Thanks for calling.
I was only calling. Congratulations, y'all, man. Y'all, you know,
right.
Good show. All right,
thank you,
thanks,
man.
Homie.
Thank you.
All right. Well, while we wait for some more calls.
The lines blew up, and then everybody dropped off.
They blew up because you said the date of our first show.
Once Dev announced that, cats want to go do their research. But real quick,
I tried to make it real easy, man.
Let's talk about some more egregious contracts. Let's talk about Eric Gordon signing 4 years, $58 million offer sheet with Phoenix. Do you think that he regrets it now that Nash is out? He's not going to play with him, and Nash is out. Yeah.
From what I hear, they say
the Hornet.
They say he really wants to be in Phoenix for some reason. So I don't know if the Nash thing, you know, made him change his mind or anything. But, you know, you can renege right now because nobody can sign a contract until July 11th. So I guess in the next day or two, we're going to find out how much he really wanted to be in Phoenix and how much he wanted to play next to Steve Nash. I think, what do you guys think about those numbers, though? Like, I don't know if the Hornets should match that. The Hornets just signed a two-guard who seems like, you know, he could be pretty promising. I think Austin Rivers, who I didn't know was 6'5", I think he could be a pretty promising guard. Like, Eric Gordon is good, but he's always injured.
He got taller on draft day. He grew like 2 inches on draft day.
He got taller after draft.
All right, we got a call on the line. Let's see if this is our cash winner or if they just call him for other reasons. 301, you are in the war room. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Yo, what's up, fellas? It's Patrick. Calling from Waldorf.
What's up, brother?
Pat! Patrick! Hey, what's up, homie?
I want to say congratulations, man, on
the
100th show.
Thank you.
Have y'all already gave out the cash winner yet?
We didn't give out the cash yet.
Oh, man,
you
got the answer.
That's
your money.
What's that? August 28th.
What year?
I get a year. 2011.
Oh! We don't have a buzzer sound, so we got to do it. Yeah, no, it's not August 28th anyway. So.
Oh, all right. That's a good guess, man.
Thanks for the congratulations, and thanks for your call, man.
Hey, if it pops in your head, you
can call back as long as you get in before the winter. You know what I mean?
All right,
good.
Sounds like a plan.
All right, man.
All right, bro.
No doubt.
100.
Hey,
I guess Patrick trying, but, you know, in the words of Randy
Moss,
he's not
going to
get it.
Great cash, homie.
Yo.
He threw it out
there. I don't mind if we don't have to give out this prize. I don't mind.
Oh, I don't either. No doubt.
Me either. I pay for Obamacare.
Yeah. I mean, I know I get my Pac-Man Jones on with his money. Anyway, listen, Michael Beasley also went to Phoenix. 3 years, $18 million. We ain't got to talk about that. We ain't got to talk about Michael Beasley. Let's talk about him on this show. We're just waiting for him to fulfill his potential.
We need to fulfill his potential.
Going to be waiting a long time.
I want you guys to give me your opinion on the Rockets offering Jeremy Lin 4 years, $30 million.
You said 40
years? He's backloaded.
We got a Magic Johnson contract?
40 years.
That's said 40 years.
He got a Forum Club contract.
4 years.
What's funny about this, and I've had to explain this to several folks, is that the way Jeremy Lin plays, which is pick and roll ball, and with Melo out, they were going like four low, one high. The four man come up, set a screen. Jeremy Lin goes one on one with a screen. He comes off, going right, of course, because he can't dribble with his left hand more than two bounces. And he'd shoot a pull up or he'd go all the way to the rack. There's a lot of human beings that play professional basketball that could thrive in that situation. I'm not saying they'll put together the 10 game string that Jeremy Lin put together. But the world now seems like it's been fooled into believing that this dude is a legitimate starting star.
So you're telling me basically that Jeremy Lin is only good in the pick and roll, right?
Yes.
I mean, so is Steve Nash, but you put him in the Hall of Fame.
I was about to say, don't answer that because I know where Jim is going.
Watch me shoot my man down. 85% from the free throw line, 41% from three, and 48% from the field. Jeremy Lin doesn't shoot those numbers.
Meaning what? He's still only good out of the pick and roll. Remember he didn't play out the pick and roll offense before he got the Phoenix?
Nah, he played in Don Nelson's system, which is darn near the same
thing. Don Nelson has no system. Don Nelson plays like a Greco system.
You go. We're talking about Steve Nash again, man.
Don Nelson's system is gold.
This is not about Steve Nash, though. It's not about Steve Nash, man. This is about Jeremy Lin.
Every half hour, we got to get Steven.
Steve gonna call back.
This is about Jeremy Lin.
Jeremy Lin, the Rockets.
$30 million. What's your opinion, Dan? The Jeremy Lin with $30 million.
A lot of people don't understand why they backloaded the offer like that, because actually in the first 2 years it would be like $5 million per year. In the last 2 years it would raise to like $10 million per year. And the reason we're getting a call on the voicemail right now. The reason that they backloaded the contract like that is because it makes it, like, if he signs it, it makes it less likely that the Knicks can match it. Because, you know, the new luxury tax rules are going to kick in the 2013-14 season. So with the back of it being, you know, $10 million per year, they're figuring the Knicks, who are already going to be around the luxury tax threshold, would be reluctant to sign that deal because they're, you know, is Jeremy Lin worth paying a higher luxury tax penalty? You know, that's the question. So if he signs it, I don't know. I think he, you know, with the new moves that the Knicks just made, I think Jeremy Lin will pretty much end up being a Houston Rocket. But a $30 million deal for a player who played 25 games last year, averaged 15-6, you know how the NBA works. And like Jimmy said in his PTR, they fought in the lockout to stop things like this, but the owners have a disease. Like, you need to give away money. That's just what they're
doing. Yeah. They need to stop crying, man. I got another one I want to talk about, get into real quick. Jason Kidd, who is one of Dev's favorite players, who Dev believes is the second greatest point guard of all time. This is Devin's opinion, by the way.
Yes, sir.
I see my brothers listen. I know he'll disagree with you because he loves John Stockton. But with that being said, Jason Kidd decided to 86 the Mavs and go play for the Knickerbockers.
Yo, that's crazy.
What you think about this?
Because yesterday they announced that they were close to a deal to re-sign him with the Mavs.
Yeah.
That's not.
By the way, real quick, before you comment, we got a call on the line. Maybe you want to answer the. Because we only got a couple of minutes left. Let's see what's going on.
Keep down, rooting against the fan. I'm rooting against the fan.
I got it now, y'all. I got it now. It's September 9th, 2010.
Am I right? What did you say? I didn't hear
September 9th, 2010.
One more time?
September 9th, 2010. Do I got it or what? Y'all, if I'm not mistaken, that was the first one. I buy my office lunch tomorrow. Good money.
Hey, buddy, it was the easiest question ever. All you gotta do is go to the internet and do some research.
That's what I had my colleague do. I thought I buy the office. I got lunch treat on me tomorrow or whenever.
All right, so we got ourselves a winner. We got ourselves a winner. Actually, Naeem, we already know how to get in touch with you, so you ain't even got to hold on the line. We will hit you tonight after the show and get the information so we can send you.
You're loose.
I'm not sure whether they want to stay a little late, though.
They dropped off, so they probably was calling in for that money.
Yeah, they was trying to get it, too. Thanks, man.
All right, Naeem. Thanks for calling again, man. We'll see you after the show.
All right. No doubt.
It was too easy. Actually, since we got into the last 10 minutes of the show, I started rooting against the fans. I'm like, we ain't got to get it.
Real quick, though, let's get back to Dev's second-best point guard of all time. TJ, what do you think about him saying to get the Mavs and going and sign with the Knicks? Like, why is nobody wanting to go to Dallas anymore? Everybody thought Dallas was about to come up, and then it didn't happen.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I guess after this season, when they, like, you know, everybody is talking about their exit strategy out of there, man. I don't know what's going on. But, I mean, I guess they got a little bit older. They couldn't do what they wanted to do in the playoffs. And now you got J. Kidd coming to the Knicks. I'm like, well, you know.
Yeah. You know what, PJ? You know what that tells me? That what we just talked about, I think they're saying by this pickup, if Jeremy Lin signs that offer sheet, we're not going to match it. So we just go out and
exactly.
get a point guard just in
Let
case.
Let them go out. Right. And we'll go get a known commodity. And what's up?
Yo, how does
Jason Terry
he had a championship team. He lost Tyson Chandler, Jason Kidd. Jason Terry is going to sign with the Celtics. So he's pretty much stuck with Vince Carter at this point.
He's the point guard. And he can't dribble without looking at the floor.
You know, he might have been
stuck
with Vince Carter, man.
Yeah, I think it's all. I mean, but think about it. Like, we're saying that, but it could mean that they know something about Darren Williams that we don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
True.
They just, you know, letting everybody roll out. But
I think that it's a come up for the Knicks in the sense that they really don't have a point guard with B. Diddy being down. And based on what we saw from B. Diddy, I mean, the same way I enjoy Mike, I support Mike Tyson, I support B. Diddy, but he really shouldn't come back, man. That's four
knees.
Hey,
but Austin, I also heard that the Knicks are talking to Felton again, though.
Raymond Felton? Why?
Yeah, they're talking to Felton again.
For what?
I mean, he played a great – he played a good
he
role with the
Knicks.
He bought out
for
his ball in his career.
Dad, that was under D'Antoni, and, you know, people get inflated fast under D'Antoni, a la Steve Nash. But the thing is, after this is before Jay Kidd signed, so I don't even know whether they're still trying to make that move.
Yeah. Well, with Jay Kidd, they were still welcoming another point guard. I think they were still cool because they were trying to get Nash as well, and that's why they had to make that move to go get Jay Kidd.
They don't want Jay Kidd to play.
Nash
more
was on their radar, but they were talking about Nash and Lynn, and maybe Jason Kidd and Lynn. But if Lynn gets a deal like he may be getting from the Houston Rockets, I don't know if they think that's worth it. They want Jeremy Lin, but I don't think they think that's worth it. But that's not even
that
the biggest story, Jim. Go to that because we got like a couple minutes. We got like 2 minutes left, and we haven't even talked about what's going on in Brooklyn right now.
Yeah, everybody trying, you know what I mean? Brooklyn is back. Brooklyn, we did
Brooklyn!
my man B.I. said, Brooklyn, we did it.
Brooklyn.
Yo.
Deron Williams signs back. They signed Joe Wallace. They trade for Joe Johnson.
Joe.
And they're still in the mix to land Dwight Howard. I've heard reports of both not being able to land him and also still trying to land him, so who knows? Dwight Howard changed his mind more than John Kerry, so we don't know what's going on with Dwight Howard.
I'm going to go real quick on this one, Jim, because we got 2 minutes. I want to take everybody's time. If they can pull off what they're trying to pull off, this team is going to be very formidable if they get Dwight Howard into that mix. We know, you know, we've even been critical of Joe Johnson, but Joe Johnson as your second or third option, Gerald Wallace as your fourth best player, like these are people that – people tried to build teams around, you know, in their careers. But if you move them down the pecking order to second, third, fourth, you know, and you got the big man in the middle and, in my opinion, the best point guard in the league leading the charge, I'm going to get in shape. I'm going to go up and see if I can get a contract with Brooklyn.
I'll be very brief. My whole thought about this whole process is I'm disappointed in one Dwight Howard because people got mad at LeBron for the decision, but what he's doing right now is called the indecision. So he's a disgrace. And but in terms of their team being formidable, I definitely agree. Anytime you have the best big man in the game with arguably the best point guard, he's got to be at least top 3 to 5. And Joe Johnson being like your third or fourth option, like you said, that's ridiculous. I actually hope it does happen because if not, the Miami Heat are going to walk to the conference finals again. So I hope, you know, someone's out there to give him a little run. PJ, what's your opinion real quick?
No, I agree. If they get all those pieces together, that's going to be a tough team to contend with. So, I mean, like you said, I probably wouldn't mind seeing it just so it makes it more competitive for the Heat. But it'll be interesting to see how it shakes out, though.
Nick, I'll
out of here.
Mario Chalmers can't check my man in Brooklyn now. And Dwayne Wade don't want no problems with Joe Johnson at 15 feet. Dwight Howard is great at protecting the basket, and Joel Anthony shouldn't be alive, let alone playing basketball. And Gerald Wallace won't have a problem checking LeBron. Now, I'm not saying he'll stop him. Obviously, he won't. But
gotta go. All I want to say on that note is I'll pick Joel Ortiz before Joel Anthony. Anyway. Thanks for joining us on the
Steve Nash Chip Chasing.
100th episode. Shout out to everyone who chimed in today, even in our chat room, on our Facebook, Twitter, people that called in. We appreciate the support through the entire 100 episodes we've had. Listen, man, special thanks to all of our past guests, especially those who left us a voicemail shout out.
And congratulations to Naeem for winning $100 today. He even called in twice to try to win that bread. Tune in next week, same time, same place, to hear us do what we do. We'll be talking with Preston Brown of Great U Sports Academy about the great things they're doing in that organization, so don't miss out. Until then, it's time for us to celebrate. It's time to bug out. Holla at us online. WarriorSports.com, baby.
With the roughneck business, I float like gravity. Never had a cavity. Got more rhymes than the one that's got family. No need to sweat Arsenios to gain some type of fame. No shame in my game, cause I always be the same. Styles upon styles upon styles is what I have. You wanted to survive, but you still don't know the half. I put New Balance sneakers to avoid a narrow path. Messing around with just to catch the size of the. I never have stuff, cause I'm not a half stepper. Drink a lot of soda, so they call me Dr. Pepper. Refuse to compete with BS competition. Your name is specialist, so won't you suckle with the mission? I never walk the streets, think it's all about me. Even though deep in my heart, it really could be. I just try my best to, like, go all out. Some might even say, yo, shorty black, you're bugging out.
Zulu Nation, mother's ass creation. Minds get flooded. Ejaculation, right on the 2-inch tape. The abstract poet incognito runs the cape, not the best, not the worst. And occasionally I curse to get my point across. So bust the floor as I go in between the grit and the dirt. Listen to the mission, listen, missions I do work. As a crack the monotone, chilling up the jam, so get your own. Smoking on repeat, cause they try to dupe me. All the best of the past, but they can't do rap for an abstract. Original, you can't get your own, and that's pitiful. I know I'd be the man if I cold yank the plug on R&B, but I can't, and that's dog.
Happy birthday to you. Happy